Now, again, this is a multifaceted topic, but do you find that there's kind of one major stumbling block or major problem that gets in the way of having a really, truly successful hygiene department?
Well, I would say that I could think of two. I think that one, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later in the tape, is that the dental office needs to be able to create value in the mind of the patient, that coming to get a continuing care visit in hygiene is more than, quote unquote, just a cleaning. So we need to be able to try to create value in the mind of the patient. The second stumbling block would probably be, it's sort of a curveball that if you let dental insurance companies throw at you. But dental insurance is definitely an issue that needs to be dealt with. And the insurance companies make it difficult because they often change the rules of the game and there's no consistent policy to which they all adhere. Now, of course, in all fairness, you have to understand the mentality and position of dental insurance companies and how that contrasts with the treatment philosophy of a dental practice. We, as dentists, hope to build lifetime relationships with our patients. So interceptive or preventative treatment like soft tissue management makes sense. The dental insurance company knows that in all likelihood, the employer who pays the premiums will switch to another cheaper plan so that company never has that lifetime relationship with the patient. So why should they pay for these interceptive periodontal therapeutic procedures, even though it makes sense, you know, in order to avoid periodontal surgery? Because most likely the patient will be under their coverage when the periodontal surgery happens. So, you know, we've got to be able to understand that the insurance companies, you know, they do try and make it difficult for offices because they have rules that constantly change. But I believe that if you understand, you can work with the insurance and you can make it something that is not a stumbling block for you to be able to get this happening in your practice.
Good. Sounds like great stuff up ahead. So two of the main things we're going to be talking about are creating value to the patient about hygiene services and how to work with the insurance company, not let them make the rules, but still work with them so that we can get our patients' benefits maximized and also have the patients understand that, hey, this is a valuable treatment and insurance may not cover it. And if it doesn't, you know, this is why we're doing it and those types
of things.
Good. Now, those are both really important things. But before we get to those, let's ask a couple more questions, kind of probing into the depths of the hygiene department that I think will be a good setup for those two big factors.
Okay.
How about the relationship between the dentist and the hygienist? Is that an issue? Sometimes it seems like, you know, you go to a practice and it seems like there are almost two practices going on, the hygiene practice and the dentist's practice, and they're both kind of afraid of each other. How's that relationship play into this whole thing?
Well, I'm not wearing my normal bulletproof vest that I wear when I go into meetings with hygienists today as we're talking. But I would say that the word issue is probably a bit strong, Rich. I think that many times in a dental practice there is a big disconnect, but it's probably not intentional, but it's certainly real, between the dentist and the hygienist. I sort of liken it to that the dentist, they live their life above the gum line and the hygienist live their life below the gum line. So the dentist is going into the hygiene room for a check thinking, you know, are there any crowns for me to do? Instead of, you know, what the hygienist might expect, well, how is Mrs. Jones' periodontal health today? So I think it's important for the dentist and the hygienist to all be on the same page philosophically and for everyone to be able to have the same vision.
Okay, that's an interesting point because I know I've taken many courses or, you know, listened to tapes, CDs, whatever, where the whole time for, you know, an hour or an entire day, they're talking about what should the vision of the dental office be. This is your mission, your vision. You need to write it down and memorize it and, you know, swallow the capsule and all that stuff. Now, does the hygiene department necessarily share that vision, or does the hygiene department kind of have their own vision?
No, I think it's a vision that needs to be the, you know, part of the DNA of a dental practice. And that is that, you know, in so many of these practices, I think that the dentists are striving to deliver the most exquisite and best restorative care, cosmetic care. I think that we need to elevate the periodontal concepts to the same level of restorative concepts. You've got to try to be the best you can be to deliver the best possible periodontal therapy and have a periodontal treatment plan for every patient, regardless of the dental insurance coverage. You see, I honestly believe that hygienists know a periodontal pocket when they meet it. But because of a lack of a structured program to deliver proper therapy in the proper sequence, they get very frustrated. They roll up their sleeves. They do the best that they can in the time that's allotted to them. They scale in root plane where it's appropriate. And then the charge is for a prophy. So most general practices that I see run what I call a prophy palace. All day long, you have prophy exam, prophy exam, prophy exam.
Hmm. The old prophy palace does not sound like a good thing.
No, because, you know, when you charge out for a prophy in these situations that I've sort of just described, nothing good has happened. Number one, the sites don't get better, so the patient doesn't heal, and they know they're going to be sort of critiqued at their next continuing care visit. Secondly, the hygienists don't get satisfaction from delivering the proper therapy, so it's not professionally stimulating. I mean, they know they're going to see the same grunge mouth coming back time after time because they haven't really had an opportunity to get in there and do what they could or should. Three, I think, and I don't want to really focus on this too much, but I mean, we do live in a very litigious society, and you know, you really don't want to get yourself at risk, and you should not be putting yourself at risk by you know, sort of doing one treatment and calling it a prophy. And four, which is certainly very important from my perspective, is that the practice loses big time in the revenue that would be generated if you coded properly and just basically charged for what you performed.
You know, it's funny, when you're talking about the prophy palace, I kind of remember this classified ad I saw years ago. An office was looking for a hygienist, and the ad said something along the lines of, "Are you tired of being the cleaning lady?" And I thought that was a great ad because, you know, a hygienist does want professional stimulation and does want to improve the health and lives of their patients. And if you're right, if you're just doing cleaning, 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 or if you're running a prophy palace, it's wrong on so many levels. But, you know, the patient doesn't get healthy, the office doesn't produce, and the hygienist is bored. So you've got
You know, Rich, it's a lot of times, I mean, you know, there's so much going on in the dental practice. There's so much demand on everyone's time, which is, I guess, you know, why coaching is become such a big business these days, because everybody knows that they could be doing something different, but they just don't have the time to do it. And sometimes it's just easier to just sort of go with the flow, not rock the boat, and then, you know, but if you continue to do what you've always done, you know, you're going to get what you've always got.
Exactly.
So there definitely needs to be change, and I have found that people can change, and they would welcome the change, if just given the tools and the information to be able to do it.
You know, if only someone out there had a four-step analysis to determine if an office was a prophy palace. You know what? You just happen to have this. And it's
I do.
I've read this over, and it's a really interesting analysis and something that I think every single dental office should do. So why don't we take a few minutes, actually many minutes if necessary, because this is really important stuff, and explain what your analysis is to discover if you may be running a prophy palace.
Right. I mean, if you're listening to this tape and, you know, you think that we in our office have a wonderful periodontal concept and, you know, we're doing everything that we should be doing, I congratulate you. But I think that a lot of times when we have meetings and we ask people's opinions and there's 10 people in the room, we get 10 different opinions. So sometimes you have a feeling about something, but there's nothing quite like taking the numbers and actually adding them up.